Good evening. Perhaps I'm a little anxious that I'm a minute or two early. I hope that's okay with you. I see that many children here this evening, and I'd like to begin with a few things with children. I hope you'll bear with me on that. And if you look at the back of our hymn sheet here, most of the hymns are for children. And I'd like to start with hymn number 42. And many of you who know me knows that this is one of my favorite hymns. I'd like to sing this hymn twice. The first time we sing this hymn, we're going to sing it the way it is. The second time we're going to sing it, we're going to change the words just so slightly. We will sing, "A little child of 70, or even 34. I can see a smiley face looking at me because she told me one year when I gave it out as such that she was going to turn 34. But I thought tonight we should fit almost everyone in this category. Whether you are a little child of 70, and I know some are even older than that, or 34, or whether you are a child of 7, or even 3 or 4, this is the message that God would have you to know. He wants you to know that you may enter into heaven through Christ, the open door. For when the heart believeth on Christ, the Son of God, 'tis then the soul receiveth salvation through His blood." So let's sing this together. A little child of 7 are even 3 are. To sing one more children's hymn. It's nice often if we think of children's hymn, sometimes it's so simple, yet it gets the message across to us, doesn't it? So I like to sing hymn number 41. Because often we look at children and say, well, how much do they know? I believe they know more than we do. But how much do we know that God knows and loves them? So here, this hymn tells us that in that day is going to come. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children whose sins are all forgiven will heavenly anthems bring. What would they be singing? They will be singing glory, glory, glory be to God on high. Let's sing this hymn together. Around the throne of God in heaven will many children sing. Children who sins are forgiven will heavenly anthems ring, singing glory, glory, glory be to God. That is nice to see that we can sing glory to God, the one who loved us, the one who gave His Son to die for us on the cross. And we know children that we just spoke of, children here know too that we have problems. As some of you know, we brought a couple of little ones with us, our grandchildren. And I watch, even at 2 years of age, they want to do things their own way. I see parents are smiling at that. We have a will, don't we? And often, that will, that desire to do things that are disobedient. The Word of God tells us that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Little child of 7, little child of 2, the Word of God says you are included in that verse. For all have sinned. So some of you older ones may be looking across at the children and say, look at those little ones that are sinners. You're right. But then you have to look at the person sitting next to you. Both sides. And you look at them, they may not be little children. I am 100% sure that the two people next to you, did you take a good look at them? They are sinners in God's sight. For all. Oh, don't forget, when you look at the other person, they also look at you. And that all in this room. No one is excluded. I find it difficult in the society we're in that the word sin, the question of sin, is becoming a very unpopular word. Anything in contrary to the Word of God, we find that to be not acceptable. I was accused by someone because I wouldn't let them use my office space to do yoga. He said, you are intolerant to other religions. So the Word of God make it very clear with sin. I had someone visited here last night, sat next to me, and I hope if he's here, I hope you don't mind me using the example you gave me. This young man told me he's an evangelist. And some of you young people met him, because I remember one of you walk up to him and say, I know you. And he said, how do you know me? He said, I saw you preaching in downtown Saskatchewan, Regina. Preaching. Wow. Open air preaching. And he said to me, many churches no longer willing to preach according to the Word of God. Because the word sin is not acceptable in many people's mind. It's good that we can pressure whoever or whatever organization that you're with to change the standard so that sin does not seem to be so bad. But the Word of God does not change its standard. It says, for all have sinned. In fact, in the book of Romans, it tells us that for the wages of sin is death. Now, we have children, young people, they're still awake. I know they should be in bed, but thank you for coming to a gospel meeting. But he said, do you know that as a young person? Do you know that you get paid to sin? Oh, yeah, you're looking at me funny now. I know when mom and dad said, help me to do something, and sometimes they reward you with some kind of pay. But the Word of God said, the wages, you get paid for the wages of sin. But it's a sad consequence, isn't it? The wages of sin is death. Oh, how sad it is that when we sin, the consequence is death. And we were reminded, all have sinned. We are sinner in God's sight. So that means death is upon every man. And it's all because of one man's offense, death came into the world, and death by sin. So all have sinned. But you know, the Word of God is wonderful because it tells us that the wages of sin is death. Now, I know many of you have learned Sunday school verses. How many of you know that verse? No one know that verse? Oh, quite a few. The bigger young people, the bigger kids here know it too. And the weight. Now, did I quote at you the whole verse? No, I didn't finish it, did I? Where is that? Maybe we should turn to that. Who can help me? I see young people there. Who can help me find that verse? Does anybody know where that is? Is he right? Well, we have to turn to the Word of God and say that Romans 10 and 9 is a very good verse in regard to salvation, but it's not the one that we were thinking of. But thank you. Anyone else can help us find that verse? I'm sorry?
6:23.
Romans 6, verse 23. He was so close, wasn't he? Let me read that verse together, even though I know you know that well. This is the whole verse. For the wages of sin is death. Here's a beautiful word, but. But. Isn't it nice in the English language we have the word but or however? It changes the thought, doesn't it? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You get paid for sinning, and that payment is death. But here, God offers a gift to you. That gift is eternal life. It's not death. What a contrast that we have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And this evening, while we're in the book of Romans, I will quote you another verse. And I want all to turn to Romans chapter 1. Because as much as this world doesn't want us to talk about God's standard, that all have sinned, Romans chapter 1 verse 16. And we need to remember this, even though I know many of you know these verses well. Romans 1 verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Isn't it wonderful to be able to say that out loud? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Isn't it nice that we can say boldly? And as I look across the room, you know, I often say that in gospel meetings. I know many of you. But this evening, I would have to say, I don't know many of you. But I trust that you know the Word of God. I trust that you too can say, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Yesterday we mentioned, some of you who are in the reading meeting, about the Jews. Well, here is a wonderful thing to remind us. It's to the Jews first, isn't it? And then to the rest of the Gentiles, like the Greek. Now, I'd like to turn to the passage that our young brother referred to, Romans 10 and 9. Beautiful verse. Romans 10 and 9. It tells us how we can be saved to receive this gift of God. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Isn't it wonderful? We're sinners in God's sight, but here God tells us, if we confess with our mouth, confession that, what? Not just Jesus. You know, this world, a lot of people call on the name of Jesus. One of my business neighbor at work, he's a Muslim, and he said, we believe in Jesus. He's one of the prophets. No, that's not what we refer to. We believe Jesus the Lord, the Son of God, the one who came down from heaven, God's beloved Son, begotten Son of God. So here we owe him as Lord. If thou shalt confess Jesus with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus. Have you confessed that he is your Lord? Not just the name Jesus. And believe in thine heart. You believe truly in your heart? What are we to believe in? You know, we sometimes, the Word of God keep things simple. We learned from the Philippian jailer in the book of Acts 16, there is, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple, isn't it? God does not make way of salvation difficult. So if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved. But here it tells us a little bit more, that we acknowledge him as Lord. We believe in our hearts. Let's read on that verse, that God hath raised him from the dead. So that gives us two thoughts there, doesn't it? That he died. That the Son of God came into this world. He died. And then he was raised from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. In the Word of God, we find the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. But you'll find often death and resurrection always goes together. He died for your sins. We find in John chapter 3, it says that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. How many of you remember the story of Moses in the wilderness? When the serpent came and bit many of them, they were sick and dying. They were told to make the pole with a brass serpent on it, and anyone who has the faith to look, all they have to do is look, and they shall be saved. So in John's Gospel, we are reminded, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, but then they said, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That was foreshadowing that Jesus will come into this world to be a sin bearer, and he himself will be lifted up high on the cross between heaven and earth. As we sometimes sing with a phrase, the center of two eternities. Let's turn to John chapter 3. I'm sure we all know these verses very well, but we need to know that and believe it in our hearts. We often quote John 3:16, don't we? But I'd like to connect John 3:14 on, because it's so important. We just finished quoting, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Oh, by believing that the Lord Jesus, he too was lifted up, as in Moses' serpent of old, it says that you won't perish and have eternal life. And then it can go on to the verse that we all know well and dear. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's John 3:16. John 3:16 is not just a symbol of writing the number 3 quotation mark 16. Oh, John 3:16, share with us that God, for God so loved you and I, that He gave His only begotten Son, because no one else was able to take away sin except His Son. The one we learn from the rest, from another passage in the Bible, the sinless one. The one who knew no sin, the one who was made sin for us. He was able to come and bear your sins and my sins on His own body on that tree. So by believing, we have everlasting life. You know, sometimes you go to places and you see 3:16. I think it's wonderful, isn't it? To be reminded. You see texts. You see posters. Sometimes it simply say 3:16. I think that's wonderful. But I do believe, too, that there are times that those who are not familiar with the Word of God would have no idea what 3:16 is. In fact, I have people commented to me. After it was read, they would say, oh, that's what John 3:16 is. Isn't it nice that as I look around, I see children, and perhaps many of you have grown up learning the Sunday school verses.